Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Ayin Zion. No, that was yesterday. Today's daf is Ayin Chesen Shabbos. So, looking at Ayin Zion. Ayin Chesen Shabbos, and we are continuing from yesterday's daf. We started yesterday the 8th parak of Shabbos, in the beginning of the 8th parak of Shabbos, more on the Malach of Otzah, and more specifically Shiurim. I told you to get comfortable. Everyone sit down, relax, and get comfortable as we go through various shiurim for Shabbos, for the Malacha of Otzah and Shabbos. Now, the Mishnayos here are going to be dealing with pretty much every item under the sun. And we're going to basically go over every item and speak to what is the smallest possible utility of that item. And once identifying the smallest possible utility of the item, that now becomes a shiur of Otzah. The Gemara will speak today, you're going to see this over the course of today's daf, that it has to be something which is shchiach, meaning if it's something which is a utility, which is not normally used for, the chachamim are not going to go after that shear. It's going to be a shear which this is the normal usage of this item, and we're going to go look for the smallest usage of the item. So in other words, if this was a search, if we were doing a search engine, we would basically plug in a particular item, and we're going to say, what do people normally use it for, and what's the smallest amount of it that I need for this quote-unquote normal usage. That's the basic the general view of the Mishnayos that we did. We started the parak talking about food, specifically that about liquid. Our Mishnah that we saw yesterday talked about taking out liquids. Usually the shear for a liquid is a revius, with five possible exceptions. Wine, milk, honey, oil, and water. Because they can be used for with smaller amounts, so therefore their shear is going to be smaller. The Mishnah yesterday talked about what exactly their shear is going to be. Rabbi Shimon popped up in the Mishnah yesterday. As Rabbi Shimon says, "Kol shear halal ella matz niehem." He's of this position where if you have people who are outliers, people who hoard things and hold on to things, even though the general population would not think this is to be significant, Rabbi Shimon says, I think that the person who feels that this is significant would be chai for carrying it out on Shabbos. So in other words, there's a subjective nature to the shear. It depends on the person and how valuable he thinks this particular item is. Okay. I spoke in very general terms, and now let's get back to the Gemara. I left off yesterday. The Gemara went off on a little bit of a tangent, a little bit of word analysis. Right, the Gemara here is analyzing words. It's interesting, the Gemara yesterday was analyzing not just Hebrew words, but really Aramaic words. Words like Dasha, and Darga, and Apadna, and words that we are familiar with in Aramaic, and really those words are contractions of other words, so in other words they are encrypted with more meaning. So this is what we were doing yesterday. Let's go back to the Gemara. I'll start again from the beginning of this discussion. It's we're on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. We are about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. First word in the line is Ve'i Ayil Kitra Mit Avra. Right, the questions that we saw yesterday between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asked about a lot of natural phenomena to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda gave explanations. I told you yesterday, your homework was to look in the Maharsha, where he goes and he understands that these questions and answers are not simply about natural phenomena, but the deeper questions, deeper answers. Anyway, Dasha, the Gemara here goes through each of these words in Aramaic. What is the word? How does Dasha represent door? Derech Sham. Dasha is a contraction of the word Derech Sham. This is the way to get in. Darga, which is a ladder. Derech Gag. This is the way to go up to the roof. Mituchilta is a type of dip. Masai Techale Da. When is this going to be finished? Meaning, apparently the dips were very good. So they look towards the end of it. Besa, the house. I'm going to go and sit inside of it. Okay, that's house. Bikta. Bikta is some sort of cubicle. Be'akta. It's tight. I'm not really sure what I mean by that. Kufta. Kof v'yasev. Let's turn this over and let's sit down on it. Livne bricks. Why are bricks called livne? So libne bane. Because when you make anything out of bricks, it's good for you, it's good for your children, it's good for your grandchildren. Anything made with brick is going to be there for a while. Hutza is a fence, but it's a fence that's made up of small shrubbery. Chatzitza. So it creates a barrier, a separation between one property and the next. Chatzba is a pail. Shechotsev maim nahar, because I use it to draw water from the well. The word chotsev means to draw. Kuza. Kuza is a very small jug. Kazeh. So basically, Kuza comes from the word Kazeh. Yeah, just about this. Meaning it's a really small item. Shutisa. Shutisa is a word that's used to describe the Hadas, the myrtle branch. It's a single branch. And Shetusa. And the Gemara explains it beautifully. The Gemara says, because you look like a fool. What does that mean? You look like a fool? Meaning that when a person dances, he looks like he's shaking like a myrtle branch. A myrtle branch waves in the wind. And a person, when he dances, looks a little bit foolish. Good. Mishichla. We're on to the next one. It's a small bowl. It's a nice bowl. So, mashe kula. Everybody wash from here. The word mashe means to wash. Mishikilta, it's a smaller bowl. Mashe kalata. Now the wife washes from that one. The kala washes from that one. That's not for everybody. Asita, that's mortar. Chaserta. And asita comes from the word chaserta, meaning because it has a hole inside of it, so it looks like it's missing something. That's the toch, the inside of it. Buchna, that's a pestle. Bav echana. Let's go and let's bang into the buchna. I'm sorry, into the asita. Levusha, your clothing is referred to as levusha. Lovusha, because once you're wearing clothing, you're no longer embarrassed. Glima. Glima is a large cloak. It really doesn't show any type of... doesn't show off any parts of the body. It's just a large cloak. Shenasa bo kigolem. When you wear it, you look like a big golem, right? Basically like a Frankenstein, if you will. Meaning, nobody could see your body parts. Gulta is a coat. Galei ve'esev. Take it off and have a seat. Meaning, it's the thing that you wear when you're outside, but you take it off once you're inside. Purya, the bed, shaparn v'rabin aleha. Well, you procreate on the bed, and purya comes from the word, puru revu. Bor, the pit, right? We're all familiar with zin, huh?
Dry pit, huh?
Bor is a dry pit. The bor zinka, right? Bor ze naki. This pit's clean. No. Sudra. Sudra was worn by the Talmid Chachamim. It's I guess it looked like a turban, something like that. So Soda Shem Le'Rav, well, Talmid Chachamim wear it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the secrets to those who fear him. Apadna, the Aramaic word for palace. Apischa Dain, the entrance to this. Meaning everybody goes in through this entrance. It's the king's palace. Tan Rabbanan. And the Gemara concludes all this with a Braisa, Shlosha Kozman, Shemazkin, Mosifin, Gevura. Three things as they get older get stronger. Right, that's not the natural way. The natural way is that as things get older, things get weaker. But there are three exceptions to the rule, and they are dag, nachash, v'chazir. Fish, snake, and a chazir and a pig. I know this about snakes. I don't know this about fish or pigs. But snakes don't stop growing. Right, you know that. It's true by alligators as well. Right, they just continue to grow. So as they get older, they just get bigger. And I guess, to a certain degree, the same thing is said regarding fish and pig as well. Okay, that's the end of the word analysis, and now we continue. We're in the Gemara on the bottom of the Amud on Ein Zayin Amud Beis, and we are at the two dots. So let's go back. We are now wrapping up our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that, generally speaking, any liquid that you carry in Shabbos, you're going to be chayv if you carry revias, except for five exceptions. The first of the five exceptions was wine. We talked about yesterday, in order to carry wine and chop, you'd be chayv, even if you take out a fourth of a fourth, meaning a revias is a quarter of a log. For wine, if I carry out a quarter of a fourth, so then I'd be chayv. Why? Because we discussed yesterday. Because a quarter of a revias, once I dilute it, and the dilution ratio is one part wine, three parts water, so then it will yield a quarter of a revias. That was wine. And then the next thing we talked about was chalav, milk. Gemara didn't have much to say, other than what's the correct spelling of the word gemia, is it with an ayin or with an aleph, which then segued into the Gemara's discussion, which we just finished up, about the proper spelling of words and the proper meaning of words. And now we're up to devash. Sorry, the Gemara doesn't comment on devash. So now we're up to shemen. No, I'm sorry. The Gemara did comment on devash. That was yesterday's daf. I'm so happy I remembered. Right, the Gemara's question was: it's to put on the wound of an animal. Do we want to know how much of the wound are we covering with the honey? Are we covering just the edge of the wound? Or are we covering the entirety of the wound? To which the Gemara responded, "Take." Okay, I apologize. We did talk about dvash, and now we are up to shem. We're up to the oil. So oil was used for application, topical application. And how much are we talking about? How much oil do you need to carry? Basically, how much of the body are we covering with the oil? What's the minimum amount? So, what did our Mishnah say? Kedei lasuch eiver katan. Well, enough to cover a small limb. That's a good amount of information, but that's not super specific. So the Gemara now is going to try to be more specific about how much we're talking about. Ami de Rav Yana, Hashem kedei lasuch eiver katan shel katan ben yomo. Enough to cover the small limb of a one-day-old infant. So in other words, we're talking now, we're trying to be as specific as possible, we're talking now about the limb of a newborn baby. Mesa the Gemara challenges because we have a brisa, and the brisa says, Shemen kedei lasuch eiver katan, vikatan ben yomo. Now the brisa didn't read so smoothly because it said, eiver katan, and then the brisa says, vikatan ben yomo. Well, how are you supposed to read that brisa? So my love, Aver Katan de Gadol, the Aver Gadol shall Katan ben Yomo. Now, presumably, what the Bryce is trying to do over here is give us basically two ways to look at the same thing, meaning enough oil to apply to a small digit of a grown man or a large limb of a newborn baby. But in other words, maybe that's what the Bryce means. And if the Bryce means that, then we got to go back and revisit what we started off by suggesting. We start off by suggesting that it was the small limb of a newborn infant. So Amalcha de Bei Rav Yana Lo Hachi Kamar. The Gemara says no. That's not the word. We could interpret the brisa a different way. Shemek de lasuch eiver katan shel katan ben yomo. What the brisa means is eiver katan shel katan ben yomo. Like in other words, we know that the brisa had the word vav in it, and that's what kind of threw us off. But the Gemara says that the way you could interpret the brisa is that the vav over here doesn't mean in addition, but the vav means, and let me further explain what this is, right, the eiver katan shel katan ben yomo. Okay, the small limb of a small child. Lema ketanai. The Gemara wants to suggest, now this is really a machlokas tanaim. Shema kedei lasuch eiver katan vikatan ben yomo, divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar basically was almost the same language as the brisa we just quoted, Rabbi Nassan Amar kedei lasuch eiver katan, and Rabbi Nassan says no, it's enough to apply to a small child. Now, when you try to contrast these two positions in the brisa, there doesn't seem to be much difference between these two positions. In fact, they both are speaking to eiver katan, a small limb of the body. There's got to be a machlokus over here. Not like we like making machlokus, but there has to be a machlokus over here. As the way the brisa is presented to us, there are two opinions. My love, Hakamiflagi, the Gemara suggests the following. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Savra Eiver Katan Shel Katan, where according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it is enough oil to apply to the small limb of a newborn infant. Rabbi Nassan, Savra Eiver Katan De Gadol, Eiver Katan, or Eiver Gadol De Katan, Aval Eiver Katan Shel Katan, Ben Yom Alo. And is the opinion of Rabbi Nassan, no, that it is has to be either the large limb of an infant or the small limb of a grown man. And that would be the machlokas. And all basically the Gemara has now done is suggested that the amount of oil that you need to carry and whether it's enough to apply to the small limb of a baby versus the big limb of a baby is in fact going to be subject to a machlokas tonight. Lo, the Gemara says, you don't have to do that. Dekulei Alma, Eiver Katan Dekatan Ben Yomo, Lo. Veleisa Derebi Anai. Look, we can give a totally different interpretation of the Braisa, and interestingly enough, the Gemara says it could be that neither of these positions agree with Rabbi Yanai. Uvehacha b'hakamiflagi. And what is the machlokus? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Savar Eiver Katan de Gadol ve'Eiver Gadol de Katan ben Yomo ki hadade ninhu. Where, as the first opinion of the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, look, the large limb of a baby and the small limb of an adult are the same shear. It's just two ways to look at the same thing. Rabbi Nassan Savar Eiver Katan de Gadol in Eiver Gadol de Katan Ben Yomo Lo, and the small limb of a grown man is yes, meaning That's how much you need to carry on Shabbos. That's the amount of oil, but that's not enough to cover, or I should say rather, that's too much. Thank you. It's too much to cover the large limb of an infant. Good. So in other words, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Lazar and Rabbi Nasan. Neither subscribe to the position of Rabbi Yannai. Rabbi Yannai is even more machmir, meaning he says that the amount of oil that you would carry on Shabbos in order to be chayev would be enough to cover the small limb of a small child. After all said and done, the Gemara finally gets to my Havi Allah. Can we get to the bottom line? Meaning, good, a lot of discussion, a lot of brisos, a lot of possibilities of how to interpret the brisa. What's the conclusion? Tashma d'tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar Omer, Shema kedei lasuch eiver katan shel katan ben yomo. It's enough oil to apply to the small limb of a small infant. In other words, it's a very small shear of carrying oil in order to be chayev. Okay. Katan, sorry. Maim kedei lasuch behem es akilar. And now we get up to water. Now, water obviously is an essential. Without water, we wouldn't be able to last on this planet for that much time. As human beings, we drink water. It's a very healthy thing to do. In fact, not so long ago, the rabbi spoke about how everyone should be drinking more water. Okay, that was that's what he taught us some time ago. In the meantime, however, how much water do you need to be chayev to carry in order to be chayev? So the Mishnah says not a revius, but much less than a revius. Enough lashof behemes a kilor to add to the kilor. Now I don't know if you have a picture of a kilor. Okay. Look, the kilor is something that we apply to the eye. It's some sort of eye applicant. I'm not particularly sure. Yeah. Anyway, the point is as follows. It's a small amount of water. And because people use it for their eye application, their eye applicants, so therefore a person would be chayev if he carried even just a tiny amount of water on Shabbos because of its use for the kilor.
Could be a poultice, maybe?
Could be a
poultice, where the water's a little added to a
something like that. Something like that. So Amar Abai Mechti. So Abai says, I don't understand. How did we arrive at this conclusion? How did the Mishnah arrive at this conclusion? Mechti. Look, if there's what's called common usage and there's uncommon usage, so I'll tell you what the Chachamim do. What the Chachamim do is that they'll go with the common usage. And even though it'll result in a kula, but that's what the Chachamim will do. If both are common usages, so then the rabbis would go after the more chamer one. And the Gemara is going to explain. If you don't understand yet, maybe the examples will help. Look, when it comes to wine, we normally drink wine. Is wine occasionally used for the kilor to apply to the eye? Yes, but occasionally. So therefore, the Chachamim said, we're going to go with normal usage, and normal usage is drinking. So therefore, the amount of wine that you carry on Shabbos to be chayev is the amount that you drink, which is a revius. Now, granted, of course, yesterday we learned that it's a revius of a revius, but remember, that's undiluted. Once it's diluted, it now becomes a revius. Chalav. Now let's turn to milk. Achila so shchiyah so refuah lo so shchiyacha. Now, people drink milk. Is it used in the kilor? Yeah, but not that often. Very infrequently. So therefore the Chachamim said that in order to carry milk on Shabbos, it has to be enough for drinking. And even though sometimes it's applied to the eye, and sometimes it's placed in the kilor, but that's occasional use, and so therefore the Chachamim ignore the occasional use. Let's do an...
Huh?
I don't know. And it's interesting because it says the word that Mishnah uses is gemia. Now, gemia is, I know it's
maybe
swallowing, but...
Well, it's curdle milk.
Maybe. Devash, achilaso shchiyaso, refuaso shchicha. Now, when it comes to honey, they're both common. Honey is used for eating. Honey is also used for medicinal purposes. So therefore, as Rabban Abbas, refuaso lechomer. So that's why the rabbi said that for the shear of honey, it's going to be, we're going to be machmir. And that is enough to apply to the wound of an animal. Elamayim. So we got all of it set up. Meaning, basically, the Gemara over here, such an important Gemara, really giving us the framework of what exactly the Chachamim are looking to in order to create this shir. Now, by the way, if you follow this Gemara well, I got to revisit what I said yesterday. I said yesterday, as guesswork, not because I know this, but in other words, where do all these shirim come from? Meaning we're going to be spending the next couple of days going over shirim. So where do they come from? So I said, Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. I don't know if I'm right. Meaning it sounds like from these Gemaras that maybe it's not Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, maybe it's the Chachamim who are given the right, the legislative right, to determine what the shir is. Of course, it's interesting because then it comes out that we're going to bring a Karban Chatas based on a shir that the Chachamim, you know, decided, determined. That may be the right conclusion, although it sounds a little bit funny as it's coming out of my mouth. I don't know if I'm presenting it properly. But certainly, though, the way the Gemara sounds like right now is like the Chachamim do have the legislative ability to determine what the shir is based on common usage. Sounds that way from the Gemara. So, and then maybe I'm not right that it's Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. Possibly. So now let's turn our attention to water. So now that we got all the basic guidelines down in terms of how the Chachamim arrived at their shiurim, so water. Elamai michti shtiyas o shchiyach rufu lo shchiyach. Meaning, we drink water. The normal usage of water is drinking. Now, is it applied to the kilur? Sure it is, but not as often. And so therefore, we look towards normal usage. Normal usage of water is drinking. So my time azra banan basa rufu asa lechumra. So the Gemara now asks a very basic question. So why the Chachamim were machmir when it comes to water? Okay. Amar Abaye, two answers to this. Answer number one, Beglila Shanu. The first answer is that maybe, says Abaye, our Mishnah is talking about the Golo. Now, to support Abaye's answer, not that he needs my support, the Mishnah was written in the Golo, meaning Rav Yehuda Anasi lived in the Golo when he wrote the Mishnah. And so therefore it's talking about the Golo community. What do we know about the community up in the Golo? They were poor. Rashi describes that this community did not have a lot of money. And so therefore, when it comes to oil, milk, wine, so they, for them, because resources are so scarce, they won't use that for the kilor. So what are they going to use for the kilor? Water. So in other words, for the members of the community of the Galil, because resources were so scarce, and because they would use water primarily for the kilor, so for them, water was shchiach. Water for the kilor was shchiach. Which, this answer of Abaye really turns everything, not upside down, I don't want to be too dramatic, but really forces you to think now about the shurim in general. Meaning now basically we're saying that based on the community you live in, and based on the usage in your community, that'll determine the shear, as opposed to there being an objective shear based on the general usage of the world population, if you will.
That's where the rabbis determined it outside.
Right. So in other words, so since our Mishnah was dealing with the Galil and the community of the Galil, so therefore water was used for the Kilor. But for the other parts of the world where water was not used for the Kilor, so then the shear would be a revius. That's essentially what Abaye is saying. Rava Amar Afilu Tema B'Shar Mekamos Kedesh Shmuel Damer Shmuel Kol Shekaino Masu Ometale Levar Mimaya Demasu V'Lamotale. The Gemara says no. I'm sorry. Rava says I don't agree with Abaye. Really, this is a shear that's universal, and people use water for the kilor. It's not as obscure. It's not as uncommon as you think. In fact, remember Shmuel is our medical expert, our resident medical expert. Shmuel said that when you apply other liquids to the kilor, look, it'll help you, but it also will hurt you. Meaning, it'll cure you of whatever eye ailment you currently have, but it'll blind you at the same time. Right? In other words, you know,
water doesn't do that, though.
It's true by some medicines. Some medicines help you, and at the same time kill you. Right. So but when it comes to water, if water is used for the kilor, it's masu, it cures you velo metalale. But it doesn't blind you. By the way, the word metalale, I didn't explain this. Metalale comes, we see this word used in sukkah a lot. It's the roof. In other words, it basically, as Rashi describes over here, and when any other liquid is used in the kilor, it basically creates a roof over your vision. It blinds you. Okay, so all the other liquids, eventually blind you. Water, no, water's good. It cures you and it doesn't blind you. So it's a better liquid for the kilor, and so therefore, says Rava, it's not uncommon. Ushar kol amashkin berevias. Tanu Rabbanan. Dam v'chomine amashkin berevias. Now, we said all other liquids. Now, truth of the matter is that once the Mishnah has identified five liquids, like how many more liquids are there out there, really? That the Mishnah then makes this very overarching statement and says that when it comes to all other liquids, the shear is the revias. So first of all, one liquid that the Mishnah did not discuss is dam. So when it comes to blood, the shear is going to be revias. So I carry blood on Shabbos, I'm only going to be chayv when I carry revias. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer dam kdei lacho bay nachas. Now Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees about blood. He says that the amount of blood that you carry on Shabbos is to apply to one eye. Shekein kochlin labarkis. Because if a person has a particular growth, a wart, a pimple, on an eye, so the common medicinal practice in the good old days was to take blood and use it as an application in order to get rid of the pimple around the eye. And more specifically, the Gemara tells us it's the blood of a wild hen. Blood, enough blood to apply to one eye. Shekin kochlin liyirud, because yarud, some form of cataract that developed on the eye. So back in the good old days, the method of healing was blood. Umayniu damadik kar shutina, and blood that came from a particular animal. I have written in my notes a bat. Okay. Yeah, I mean, Rashi says it's an atlaf.
Yeah,
okay, so v'simancha.
Why didn't you say tope?
Tope?
Tope is a mole.
A mole. Yeah, that may, okay.
It's blind because it's not blind. Tope, you know,
okay, I hear you. So v'simancha, go la go, bra la bra. And the Gemara says, and you want a good mnemonic to help you remember this? So the Gemara says, I'll give you an excellent one. So a bat or a mole, whichever one it is, it hides in caves or in the ground. So in other words, the blood of such an animal will help you with ailments that are not external but internal. A cataract is in the eye. So therefore, the blood of a bat is good for the cataract. However, if you have a growth on the eye, so there you use the blood of a hen. The hen is something that's external, it's outside. So the blood of it will help you with the eye ailment that is outside. Bemed var mamor, and we're continuing now in the braisa. Bimotzi, that's only when you take it out of abimatznia kol shuchayav. But if you're a matznia, meaning that this shear that we just gave, enough blood for the application of the eye, that's only for the person who takes it out. But if you're the matznia, the outlier, the person who hides and hoards blood, even at a lesser shear, so for you, the shear is going to be less. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ba'med V'amamorim B'matznia, Ava B'motzi, Einu Chayiv Ala B'revias. No, just the opposite. Our Bryce was talking about the matznia. But but for everybody else, the shear is going to be revias. Umodim Chachamim Rabbi Shimon B'motzi Shovchin L'Rishas Rabim Shashirim B'revias. And there is agreement that if it's Shovchin, that if it's wastewater, the shear of that is going to be a revias. So I'll come back to that in just a moment. Amar. But let's go over those last two points that we just made in the braisa. So when do we say that you'll be chayav for the person who takes it out? But for the matzniyah, the shear is a kol shehu. Atu matzniyah lav motzihu. Now, just the wording of the braisa is a little unclear. It sounds like the matzniyah and the motzi are mutually exclusive from one another. What do you mean? You could be a matznia and you could be a motzi. Meaning, you could be the person who hoards this small amount of blood, and at times, if necessary, you can also be the one taking it out. So what does the braisa mean when it says the matznia is opposed to the motzi? Amar Abaye, hach b'maiskin and b'talmid sh'amar lo rabbo, leich ufana li hamakom. Abaye says, our braisa is talking about a very specific case, specifically. We're talking about someone who is an apprentice. Rashi over here says he's an apprentice to a blacksmith. Okay. And the Rebbe says to the Talmud, look, funnily amakom, go clear some space for me because I want to sit down, I want to have a meal, and move things away. Halach ufana lo davar chashuv lakol chayv ilaveh. Now, If it's something which is a davar chashov, and you move it and you take it out, so you're going to be chayiv, because it's something which is significant, universally significant, and so therefore transporting it on Shabbos, you'd be chayiv. Davar she'eino chashov lakol, and something which is not chashov, so then i'atzne rabbei mechayiv alave, v'ilo lo mechayiv. So, now we're talking about the apprentice taking it out. If the master of the apprentice feels that it's chashov, so then when the apprentice carries it, he's going to be chayiv. And if the master does not feel it to be chashov, so then the apprentice is not going to be chayiv. Now, do you remember, just a couple days ago, we assigned this position to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the very top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had a very interesting position, which comes up right now. And he says that you can be chayiv for Shabbos on carrying, when even though you don't think it's significant, but somebody else thinks it's significant. And you can borrow their das. It's a very interesting position. I don't know, I can't think of offhand of another precedent in Shas where we have this idea where I could borrow somebody else's das. But Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that
you're accountable on their das.
You're accountable for his das. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says in the world of Hotza'ah, when somebody else deems it important, even though you don't necessarily deem it important, but you'll be chayiv for carrying it. Our example over here basically mimics that position, where the Tanakhama and Rashi says, we're going to have to now identify him as Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanakhama says that when the master says to the to his apprentice, hey you, I think that's important. I know universally it's not, but I think that's important. Could you take it out? And the apprentice does so. So he would be chayiv for the malacha of Hotzah. Yeah, Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera.
Correct.
First of all, Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera, so that in other words, the apprentice is going to be Chayiv. And is it Lifnei Iver? Yeah, but right now we're just focused on what's it. We just want to say a Pshah in the Braisa. Right. So the Pshah now we're saying in the Braisa is that the Motzi doesn't necessarily have to be the Matzniya. Meaning it's the master who thinks that this is significant, points to the apprentice and says, hey, take that out, because I want to sit down. And when the apprentice takes it out, the apprentice will be chayiv. And the Tanakam of the Braisa subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Right. In other words, correct. Meaning Tanakam will be Rabbi Shimon Elazar. And then position number two will be Rabbi Shimon. Right, and obviously they disagree, and then right, and then there's going to be a third opinion. Yep. So Amar Abaye Hakam Askin, but Tamish Amar LaRabba Leichu Panali Amakon Suda Halachu Panal Davar Chashal. Okay, I'm sorry, I read all this. Iatzne Rabbi Mechayv Elolol Mechayv. Second line down after the lines get wide. Amar Mar Modim Chachamim Rabbi Shimon Ben Mosi Shavchan Roshos Rabbi Shishir BeRevias. Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Shimon that if it's wastewater, so then you'd be chayv for Revias. Now Shavchan LaMaychazu. Now here the Gemara. Here the Gemara goes the other direction, meaning we've been basically taking all these liquids and reducing the shear because they're significant even with a reduced shear. Wine, oil, water, honey.
That's a purpose.
Okay, it has a purpose even when it's less. But now we're talking about wastewater, water that was used already. So in other words, it's dirty, disgusting water. So here, there's a consensus that to carry this on Shabbos, you'd be chayiv even if you're carrying a revias. And now the Gemara is going to ask the other way. What good is this water? Meaning, let's not have a revius of it. Let's have two times that amount, four times that amount. But in other words, to be chayiv, you have to carry something that has a purpose and a function. So what good is this water? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Legavo Behem Esatit. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what it's good for. Makes great water when you're making bricks and mortar. So in other words, when you're mixing the bricks, And you need water in order to put together with the hay and the straw and whatever you're using to make your bricks. So you need some sort of adhesion. You need water. This water, I'm not going to wash my hands with this water. I'm not going to drink this water. But it's good to make brick out of it. Now the Gemara says, but wait a second. We will learn soon enough. In fact, today's daf, tomorrow's daf, that when it comes to cement, so enough cement in order to make for the opening for the core, right? For the furnace. So lokasha hadamigbal hadalom migbal. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Meaning, when making clay for the opening of the furnace, so you're right. The shear is going to be enough to make just enough for the opening. But that's only if you already have clay already prepared. But a person's not going to go through all the trouble of mixing water and earth just for the purposes of making a small opening for the furnace. So, in other words, if you just have water and it's shofchin and it's wastewater, so then the shear is going to be revius. Adkan. Okay, that takes us now through all of our liquids. We have now finished the first Mishnah of the eighth perek, and now we move on to the second Mishnah. And now, basically, all other items. So taking out rope. So how much rope are you going to take out to be chayv on Shabbos? Enough to make a handle for a bucket. A gemi. Gemi is a reed. Yeah, very good. A gemi is a reed. So how much reed am I going to need to carry on Shabbos? Kedei lasos talai lanafa. Ulekavra, a smaller shear, a handle for a sieve or a sift. You know how much reed you need? Enough to measure the foot of a child. Remember the good old days, right? Shoe shopping when I was younger. You went to the store, they actually measured your feet, right? You had a guy try on your shoes, right? That was like shoe shopping when you were a kid. Now you go to this warehouse and basically, right, help yourself, right? You want somebody to help you, good luck, it's not happening. And, okay, in other words, customer service in the last 20 years. So anyway, midas min alakatan. So the Gemara says that the amount of gemi you'd be chayav for is the amount that to measure the small foot of a child. Niyar, paper, just enough paper to write a receipt on it. Hamotzi, Rashi over here, I'll read the Rashi over here, it's important. What does a receipt look like in the good old days? So Rashi says the receipt in the good old days was a piece of paper that held two letters on it. That's it. What those two letters were, I don't know. In other words, somehow in two letters it was able to identify that you are a paid customer. Right? Rashi writes, it's the bottom Rashi, Yish Chaladim Shenosin Amechas Rosh HaNahar B'makom Echan Om Mochel Lo B'matana V'hu Moser Lo Chosam La'aros Amochel Shemachel Lo Hamechas. Either you're paid or you're given a consideration. Either way it works. You're then handed a receipt at the front of the bridge. Okay, basically, we're talking about a toll on the bridge. Okay, we're so technological nowadays. We have the easy pass, but in the good old days, you were actually handed a piece of paper showing that you paid. The darko lichtovo shtei osios vehein gedolos mishtei osios shalano. So they were written in two letters, and the letters that they were written in are larger than the two normal letters. Apparently, there was a universal font that was used, whatever the size was, I don't know, but the receipt happened to have been two letters of a larger font. The Mishnah continues. We're back to the Mishnah. Hamotzi keshamochsin chayev. Now, if you carry the receipt itself on Shabbos, you're going to be chayev. Now that seems to be a little bit redundant, as the Mishnah just told us that the shear of paper that you need to carry is an amount to write a receipt on. So of course then, if I take the receipt out, I'm going to be chayav. So you take a look at Tosfos on the next Amud. Tosfos is a little dislocated. Tosfos is on the Amud Beis. It's the third Tosfos down. Kesher Mochsen Chayav. It's the Rech Lashman and Afil Ksav Al HaKlav. Meaning that if you used a klaf, which is parchment paper, even though our Mishnah gives another shear for klaf, but if it's used as a receipt, so then you'd be chayav even if you took the klaf out. That's what the Mishnah here is trying to communicate to us with this last statement. Niyar machok. Niyar machuk is erased paper. Once you have erased paper, you can't write on it anymore. In order to write documents back in the good old days on paper, it had to have been paper that was pristine, paper that was not touched or not handled. Once the paper was erased, no one's going to use it for documentation anymore, as we're worried about forgery. Meaning, if it's erased now, probably was erased already one time before that, and so therefore it has to be on paper. You know, when you write your checks, you know, they try very hard to make it so that everyone knows that this is the first time it was written on and never written on again. This, you know, fraud protection, if you will. So nothing's changed in the past 2,000 years in the time of the Mishnah also. Once the paper is erased with, it's useless now as documentation, and so therefore the paper is as valuable as the paper is. Kidei lachroch atzluchis ketana. What do you do with a useless piece of paper? You wrap up the top of your jug with this piece of paper. Shell plaiton. I'm sorry. Tzluchis ketana shell plaiton. Right? Some sort of spice jar. Or how much leather are you going to be chayev? Kidei la'asos kemeya. Enough to write your amulet on the cloth, on the parchment. I told you the kemeya was written on hide, on leather. Klaf kidei lichtav alav parsha ketana. Now what about klaf? Now klaf is also coming off the hide of an animal. We talked about this. When you take the hide off the animal, actually the hide can then be further subdivided into two parts, right? One's called the dechfufis, right? And the other, right? And the other one's called the klaf. Okay, we spoke about this back in, right? I didn't pronounce it correctly. Anyway, so but when you have the klaf, the part that the Torah is written on. So kedei lichtov alav parsha ketana shebetfilin shehi Shema Yisrael. So that's enough to write one parsha, which is Shema Yisrael. Dio, how much ink would I need to carry on Shabbos to be chayev? Kedei lichtov beis osios, to write two letters. Chol is eye makeup. Kedei lachol ayin achas, enough to apply to one eye. Now that's of course a little bit strange, because usually when you apply. You apply, I mean, I don't, but I'm saying, but, you know, for those who do, they apply to two eyes. So why do the Mishnah say that one eye is enough? So we'll see. Stay tuned for that. Devik kedei liten barosh hashafshaf. Glue enough to put on the top of the bird post so that the bird sits down on the bird post, and that's called dinner. Okay, now you have trapped the bird. Zephes v'gafres kedei lasos nekev shava. I'm sorry, lasos nekev. As far as pitch and tar is concerned, enough to make a hole for the crucible. Shava wax kedei liten alpi nekev katan. Enough wax to put on a small hole. Charsis kedei lasos pikur shel tzorfei zahav. As far as the charsis is concerned, enough to put on the small furnace that's used for smelting down the gold. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kedei lasos pit put, enough to make the pedestals of the furnace. Subin, how much bran do I need to carry on Shabbat to be chayev? Kedei liten al pi kor shel tzorfei zahav, enough to put around the edge of the mouth of the blacksmith, of the goldsmith. Sid, how much lime do I need to carry on Shabbat to be chayev? Kedei lasot ketana shebebanot. Enough to apply to the small limb of a young girl. Lime in the good old days, that was a hair removal of the day of days gone by. And so what they would do is they would apply it. And how much application is significant? So the first opinion in our Mishnah is enough to apply it to the small limb of a young girl. Rav Yehuda Amar kedei lasos kilkal. Enough to apply to the temple area of a woman, and Rabbi Nechemiah Omer kedei lasuch undapi, enough to apply to the forehead of a woman. Okay, three different opinions regarding how much lime you need to carry on Shabbos.
Hair remove all these areas I mentioned.
I assume so. I mean that's how Rashi seems to say it. But to be fair, though, Rashi only comments on the first opinion, not on opinion number two and number three. So, you know how it works now. We're going to go over the Mishnah step by step, point by point, and we tackle now the first one, which is rope. How much rope are you going to have to be chayv to carry? Enough to make a handle for a basket. Why not a smaller amount of rope? Maybe enough rope to make for a handle for a sieve or a sift, which would be a smaller amount. And the Gemara's answer is pretty straightforward. The Gemara says, Kevin decharik. Bemana lo av de ishi. Well, rope is very abrasive, and to make rope for the handle of a sieve or a sift, it will only harm your sieve or your sift. So therefore, you would not use rope for that. You would use rope for a bucket, but not for a sieve or a sift, and therefore the shear is where it serves a utility. Tanu Rabbanan Hutzin Kedei Lasos Ozen LaSal. The fronds of a palm tree. So how much of it would I be chayv enough to make for the handle of a basket? Kfifa mitzris. I'm sorry. Lasal kfifa mitzris. Enough for the handle of a Egyptian basket. Siv. Siv is kind of like the fibrous materials. Achemamim kedilitin api mashpach katan. Lasanin es hayayin. Enough to make like a funnel, small funnel, in order to try to strain your wine. Thank you. I was looking for that word. Revav. How much grease would I be chayv on Shabbos if I carried a little bit of schmaltz in my hand? Kedei lasoch tachas aspagin kitana. Enough to put under the wafers. In other words, when you put the wafer in the oven, you don't want the wafer to get stuck to the wall of the oven. So what do you use? A little bit of schmaltz. And I'm sure it makes the wafer taste even that much better. So enough to apply to one wafer, a small wafer. Yeah, you read my mind. It's funny. It makes a fleishik and you're not allowed to make fleishik bread. Okay. Okay, not. I mean, it's a good question, and I mean, not germane to our discussion, but it's a very good question, and I was thinking the same thing myself. Okay, good job reading my mind. The kamash, I just didn't, you know. Well, fleishik bread means bread made with meat, meaning baked with meat. You know, bread has to be baked parv. Bread cannot be baked milchik, nor can it be baked fleishik. So,
baker's oven. Bring
their
bread to the baker?
I don't know. Okay, look, it's a good question, but you know, I'm going to ignore it, and I'm going to be honest. So the kamashira kisela, and the amount is that of a small stone. The hatanika grogerus. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have another brisa that says that the shear is a grogerus. The Gemara says, yeah, that's the same thing. Muchin, how much cotton do I need to carry on Shabbos to be chayv? Kedelasos kador ketana, v'kamishira ke'egos, a small ball of cotton, the size of a nut. Near kedelichtov alav kesher mochsin. How much paper? Enough to write the receipt. Tana. We learned in a brisa, kama kesher mochsin, shtei osios. Brisa number one tells us that the amount of a receipt, the size of a receipt, is the amount in which you write two letters. Good. We saw that back in Rashi. Good. Viriminhu. Here's the problem. We have another brisa. Hamotzi niyer chalak. If I take out nice, clean paper, im yeshbo kedei lichtov shtei osios, chayev. V'im lav pater. If there's enough to write on it two letters, you'd be chayev, and if not, you would be pater. Okay. Amar av sheshes my shtei osios. Shtei osios shtel kesher mochsin. So Abai says there is no discrepancy whatsoever between Bryson number one and Bryson number two. They are really describing the same thing. Bryson number one says the amount to write two letters, but two receipt letters, and like we discussed earlier this morning, they're bigger letters. The second Bryson is also describing the same thing. I know the second Bryson only uses the word shteosios, but what we mean by that are shteosios shel mochsin, two receipt letters, which are bigger letters. Rava Amar Shtei Osios Didan Ubeis Achiza Dahainu Kesher Mochsin. So Rava also will attempt to explain the discrepancy between the two brisos. The second brisa does say two letters. It means two regular letters, not two receipt letters, which means our normal font size, but it also has to it a margin, and so which I can hold also the receipt while the two letters are written on it. So in other words, there's room for margin. It's a little bit bigger than just simply enough to hold two letters.
I mean, the cloth, it said that when you write like letters in the Torah, they have to be like enough white space around it. To
correct. But this is even a little bit more than that, meaning it's enough to hold. It's enough to hold. Meizve the Gemara quotes a brisa, Amotzi Niyar Machuk, if I take out Niyar Machuk. Ushtar Parua, or a paid loan note. Im yesh beluban shelo kedei lichtov shtei osios, o bekudol kedei lichroch apitzluchas ketana shel pleiton chayev im lav pater. Now, this is niyar machok. It's erased parchment. which means it's no longer usable for documentation. So what good is it? Well, if there's still enough original space to write a new document, i.e. to write two letters on it, which would be enough to write to be a receipt, so then you'd be chayev. Or if there's enough paper where I can cover my jug, my jar with this paper, you would be chayev. Otherwise, you'd be putter. Now, Bishlam Rav Sheshes Damar Maishteo Sheo 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 Keshem Uchzin Shopper. Now, according to Abaye, every time it says two letters and we're talking about a document, you adjust the size of the letter. We mean two receipt letters. Ella Rav Damar Sheo 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 Dano Beis Achiza Dino Keshem Uchzin Hacha Beis Achiza Lo Tzarech. So, but according to Rava, who says that when it says Shteosios, it means two regular sized letters, which are smaller. And with the way he interpreted the second brisa was a beis achiza and enough to hold. But over here, I already have excess paper, so I already have a handle on the paper. So why would I need more? So the Gemara says kashya. The Gemara says, you know that you're right. I grant you.
Used paper, no?
Yes, but
so you may need enough space to write something new on it that's like not on an area that's not been erased.
Right, but it sounds like from the brisa, and you need more to hold on, and rub, and the point is that it already has it.
Right.
It's a little look.
Maybe has to do with the fact that you want to demonstrate that you're. It's written on the unused part, and you have to hold it. That's not covered. The
look,
erased part.
Good. And the Gemara ends the whole discussion by saying kasha, which means it's challenging, but it's not terrible. Meaning, like you're doing right now, we could answer up for Rava. It's not a game ender for Rava. Okay, we'll pause over here. So again, we are now well into the discussion, well into the eighth parak of Shabbos. The shiurim of what makes something significant, whereby which if I carry it on Shabbos, I'll be chayv v'karben chatos. We finished our liquids today. We moved on now to other items. We're up to the solids. And we are going to discuss more about receipts tomorrow. A lot of receipt talk in tomorrow's daf. If I can get you to come back. All right, we pause. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Rabbi Shachar Shbaruch, Lezak Yisrael. Fi Chachir ben Torah Mitzvah, Shenemar Nech, Hafetz Amantzikoy, Yagdil Torah V'Yad Yerub.